Welcome to another edition of Mets Musings. I know, it's been a while. Things have been a little busy, but not on the Mets scene. But spring training is a mere 5 days away for pitches and catches, and a little bit more time before the rest of the crew comes in. No, this guy's down there already working out, and they get there early, and they'll be probably near capacity when the pitchers and catchers get together. But there is some Mets news, but before we get to that, there's something that's been bugging me that I have to get off my chest here with Met fans, my fellow Met fans. I don't know what is wrong with you people. I don't understand it anymore. Maybe the game's passed me by. I don't know what it is, but I cannot understand these people on social media. You listen to them, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know what they want. They complained about the Wilpons not spending money. And then the Wilpons spent money. And then they still complained that they want to see the young guys. Now, it's the same deal. They practically ran the Wilpons out of town. Now you got Steve Cohen in there. Steve Cohen wants to win. And now, all of a sudden, he's a bad guy. Because he's not spending the money this year. He spent an inordinate amount of money last year, ridiculous amount. It didn't work. So now he's taking a different tact. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's a good idea. But now the fans aren't happy about it. And look, I get part of the criticism. Tickets are not cheap. It costs a lot to park. The food is expensive there. I get all of that. But you can't have it every which way but lose. I mean, you got to make some concessions here. They hired a new president of operations. He's going about it in a specific way. And the people still aren't happy. Now the whole argument I see on social media is that Cohen's not interested in winning. He's not interested in the team. He's only interested in the land around the stadium so he can build this casino and whatever else he wants to build. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement to make. A, if he's got a good product on the field, it's going to help his casino business and whatever else he's going to build around there. People aren't going to want to open restaurants and high-priced stores if there's a lousy product in the ballpark. It helps bring in business. So, you know, the people who say he's only in it for that, and why don't they spend more money? And, you know, you can't count on kids. No, you can't. But they made some great trades to bring in what they perceive to be high-class prospects. And not only what they perceive, what the rest of the baseball world perceives to be high-class prospects. And are they all going to pan out? No, probably not. But, you know, with the guys that they brought in, the odds are that maybe one really becomes a superstar. Maybe the others become decent everyday players, nothing fantastic, but a good everyday solid player. We don't know until they play. And I get it. They had a lousy bullpen last year. They lost most of their pitching staff. They brought in some rethreads. I get it, but that's the way you know, they chose to do it this year to bridge until they get more minor league talent coming about, ready to go, and get younger people complaining that they were too old last year. Well, now they're going to be significantly younger and hopefully getting younger, and there'll be a boatload of money coming off of the payroll next season. So imagine this. And this isn't an awful team. This team has a good nucleus of young players. Now, what they have to do is develop some more young players to add to that nucleus, and then you fill in the spots. They're not quite there yet. Maybe another year. It may be a certain players, maybe 2 years. But there's a chance we may see Acuna this year. There's a chance we might see Drew Gilbert this year, who they're high on. Ryan Clifford might be another year and a half away. But they're very high on him as well. But Met fans, you know, social media really screwed up a lot of things for everybody. I mean, it's very easy to get on there and to be anonymous and to write all these, I guess they think they're funny, they're comedians or something, under a some sort of username that nobody can trace back to a person. And to get away with stuff and to make all kinds of outrageous comments and propose stupid trades and everything else. But, you know, I read a lot of this stuff online, and I'm, you know, when did Met fans turn into Yankee fans? We have to win now. We want to win. Look, we all want to win. I want to win too. I'm a lot older than everybody. I definitely want to win. You know, if you're 25 years old, you want to win, but you got a lot of time left. Some of us don't, and we want to see a winner. But the point is, you root for the team, and you know, you stick with the team. You can be critical. I'm critical here all the time when they're bad. But, you know, a lot of the stuff I see on social media is just downright ridiculous. And I'm amazed that and I guess we've had the same thing for years on sports radio. And now it's, you know, now with the with social media rising up more and more, we see more criticism of things. And I'm just amazed how many people are so brilliant and terrific general managers, and yet they're sitting in their basement typing on a keyboard. So I don't understand what it is, and it's the Yankeefication, I think, of Met fans, and it's a little sad in a way. Met fans used to be happy and go lucky and were fun to be around and would, you know, root for their team. Now I see online, I see a lot of bitter, angry people getting angry at them. Why? It's a game. It's a sidelight. It's for us. I mean, to them, it's their livelihood. But to us, it's a sidelight. It's there's so many other problems to worry about in this world than you know, whether the Mets got a starting pitcher or who's going to start the fourth game of the season or whatever. They always find somebody to throw in there, whether they're good or bad or indifferent. you know, look around the mangers. Everybody's in the same boat. They're all throwing pitches in there. Maybe it's just a time in baseball where there's a dearth of good, solid starting pitching. And, you know, you try to accrue the most as you can and hope for the best. It's also a time when we seem to be, you know, don't forget, we stress for the last amount of years on bullpens, and people, general managers and organizations were converting, drafting people with starting pitches and converting them to bullpen. Maybe it's time to go the other way again. Maybe it's time to push starting pitches 5, 6, 7 innings and develop them in the minors like that instead of making them 3 innings and out, or, you know, 80 pitches or pitch counts in the minor leagues. Time to start developing starting pitching instead of just, you know, changing people over to relief pitches. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but maybe they've gotten too, what's the word I'm looking for you? They're not as selective as they used to be. You can tell pretty much if a guy's not going to make it as a starter, and you know, but you like his stuff, you move him to the pen. But it seems like they do a lot more of that. And there's not a lot of not development per se, because they should be developed pretty much by the time they get to the major leagues. But you'll see some teams that bring up guys, put them in a bullpen, let them go under fire, and then they'll move them to the starting rotation. And we don't see that as much anymore. And the Mets hardly ever do it. I mean, it's all done in the minors, if anything. But again, a guy throwing 3 innings, I don't think prepares you at any level. I'm sorry. You know, they babied Justin Dunn when they got him. And I remember at that time, I spoke to the pitching coach of the Cyclones, and he was on very strict orders. In fact, I went to a game where Dunn was starting, and I was texting with the pitching coach. He goes, he's only going 3 innings. You know, if you want to watch him, don't go for popcorn or a hot dog then, because he's only going to be in for 3 innings, or I think it was 80 pitchers or something, because he had some they just didn't want to rush him. And I think it hurt his career. I think it set him back, and he got traded, of course, to Seattle, and Seattle put him in a bullpen then. I don't know. I just think that they give up on guys too quick and move them into the bullpen, and they baby him too much. And I think a pitcher has to throw, and I think he should be throwing not at 100%, but should be throwing as much as he can. Even if it's just, you know, a game of catch every day. You know, for a while they were throwing footballs to keep their arm strength up. And I just think it stretches the muscles. It keeps the muscles loose. And that's my opinion on that. But again, as far as the Met fans, come on, guys and girls, just chill a little. All right. It's a game. It's a game. And I know we get emotionally involved, and but don't let it base your whole life on what the Mets do. It's not worth it, trust me. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with other Mets news, some signings you probably know all about already, but we'll go over it again after this message.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history. Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that Baseball PhD can be heard on BaseballTalkRadio.com?
Our shows rotate with other top baseball podcasts.
Now don't forget, that's BaseballTalkRadio.com.
With us, we'll help you get a PhD in life through baseball.
With BaseballTalkRadio.com, you'll hear the rest of the excellent universe of baseball podcasts.
Hello, baseball fans. You're listening to Baseball Talk Radio, the home of great baseball talk shows. At BaseballTalkRadio.com, you're going to find great shows like this one with the great Gary Mack and the Mets Musings podcast. And now back to the show.
And we're back. And the Mets announced the re-signing of veteran reliever Adam Ottavino to a one-year contract on Tuesday evening. The deal was reportedly $4.5 million. I know some people weren't happy about this, but I think this is a good signing. He's familiar with New York. He actually took less money. He declined an option for $6.75 million with the Mets. Thought he would get more money out there in the big bad world, but it didn't turn out that way. I guess he got a little nervous and decided to come back to the Mets, and he did, and signed for less money. But I think it's a good deal for the Mets. I feel that he was overworked last year, overused, and when they needed him, he tired out and didn't have his good stuff. And hopefully this year there'll be more arms, more significantly better arms. And don't forget with Edwin Diaz coming back, I think that'll be that's going to anchor the end of the bullpen. So there's that feeling that excuse me, that the closer is there. Last year they didn't have a closer. They, David Robertson eventually stepped into the role, and did a fine job until they traded him. But Ottavino could be used more as a setup man now. They could just use guys differently, knowing that the closer is there. They also signed Jake Dykeman, a one-year deal with a vesting option. He is 37. He's a veteran of 12 seasons. And he decided to come here to the Mets, and we'll see how he works out in the bullpen. The Mets did lose an arbitration case. Reliever Phil Bickford won his arbitration hearing against the Mets, as first reported by Joel Sherman of the New York Post. His camp at ET Sports successfully argued for a $900,000 salary. The team had filed at $815,000. New York acquired Bickford in a minor deadline trade with the Dodgers. He threw 25 and a third innings down the stretch, working to a 4.62 ERA to form a first-round pick, fanned around a quarter of opponents against an elevated 11.4% walk rate. Those were similar strikeout and walk marks as he managed in Los Angeles. He finished with a 4.95 mark over a career high 67 and a third inning. So, he wasn't the best reliever, but he'll be in the mix, and we'll see. You know, he had some good moments. I thought he pitched well in spots, and we'll see how he gets used. And what he does this year, if he indeed does make the team. The we covered the spring training again. February 14th, pitches and catches. First full workout is February 19th, and the Grapefruit League season opens up on February 24th against the Cardinals in Port St. Lucie, and they play their final game on March 25th against the Yankees in Tampa. Opening day is March 28th at Citi Field against the Milwaukee Brewers, so keep that in mind. We're starting in March again. It will be cold. It will be cold at Citi Field. The Mets have also announced in the offseason that the Saturday games, and if you look at the schedule, you see this, there will be no Saturday night games. All day games, pretty much. Saturday home games between March 28th and May 25th will feature a 1:40 p.m. start and a start of 4:10 between June and September. This game time change was driven by the results from Mets fans and survey that indicated nearly 90% of respondents favored earlier game times on Saturdays in order to bring kids, family, and large groups to games. Okay. I mean, it is what it is. I personally enjoy a Saturday night game. I like the idea of having the day to do whatever you need to do, and then at night you can relax. I always found the day games, and especially these mid-afternoon 4 o'clock games, are really horrible because it just comes, it plops in the middle of the day, and you know, with traffic and everything, you have to get there. So I mean, a 1:40 start, you're going to find people leaving at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning to get to the game. And a 4:10, again, with traffic coming from Long Island, you've got the traffic on the belt. Not the belt unless you go into Grand Central. But you have the Cross Island Expressway, and you've got Belmont when they're there, so it can be a little crazy. But okay, this is what the people wanted. They wanted these game changes, so we're gonna have 1:40 starts and 4:10 starts. So be aware of that. If you have tickets for a Saturday game, be sure to check. And that could change if a TV gets involved. But part of it's done for TV. I guess the idea of the 1:40 in March to May is because the weather's still chilly, so it'll be the warmer part of the day. The 4:10 will be from June to September, will be in the slightly cooler part of the day when it gets hot in the summertime. So it is what it is. Now, we were talking about the Mets pitching earlier and the signing of Ottavino and Dykeman. Now, I don't know where Dykeman's going to stand. I think you could probably put him in under the locks, you know, to make this team. And so far, the bullpen would look like, of course, Edwin Diaz, Adam Ottavino, Brooks Raley, Jorge Lopez, and Drew Smith. I think you could probably put Dykeman into that mix, as well as, you know, guys that are definitely going to be there. Who else did they bring in that will have a shot at the bullpen? Well, you've got Michael Tonkin, Sean Reed Foley, we mentioned Phil Bickford, Josh Walker is another one, Nat Lavender, two lefties there, Johan Ramirez, Austin Adams, and Kyle Crick, all guys that were brought in, and we'll see. There's potential there. Nobody jumps out at you as great, but Bullpens are very fickle. Bullpens can be great 1 year and stinko the next year with the same personnel. Same personnel. You know, very, very rarely do you see a dominating bullpen dominate 2 years in a row. There always seems to be a letdown. They'll have that dominating year shut down, and the next year something goes wrong. And let's remember, the big thing with all the sports, especially with the Mets, is health. Everybody's got to stay healthy. In the starting rotation, everybody's got to stay healthy. With the bullpen, everybody's got to stay healthy. And on the field, everybody's got to stay healthy. But this isn't a bad team. Go around the diamond. I mean, with Alonso at first, second's going to be McNeil. With the injury already to Mauricio, who's going to miss the year. You got Lindor at short. He's a lock. Vientos and Beatty will fight it out for third base, and there are some backups just in case, Wendell and others that could fill in. The outfield, I think Harrison Beatty is going to get a lot of time in center field. Nimmo's going to move over to left, which is just going to, you know, make a terrific defensive outfield. At least on the left side. The right side is a question mark. Is Starling Marte, can he come back from injury and play like he did a couple of years ago? Is it going to be DJ Stewart? Is he going to be out? Can he repeat what he did the second half of last year? The name escapes me now, that the gentleman that they got from Milwaukee, Tyrone Taylor. Is he going to be in? He'll be in the mix, definitely. So, behind the plate, of course, Alvarez and there's a good good nucleus there. And don't forget, Acuna could come up and play second, and you know, and that would move McNeil around more. If it's not working out at third base with any of the guys we mentioned, McNeil could always move over there, perhaps. And who's lurking? The minor leagues, Jet Williams is lurking there. He went through three levels last year and really had a terrific season. He is been invited to camp as a non-roster invitee, I think. I don't think he's on the 40-man roster. They don't have to put him on yet. There's a guy to watch, too, as well. In a short period of time, he's made a meteoric rise up through the system. So it's a good nucleus. It's a decent team. It may be with some breaks. It may be make a wild card. Who knows? Is it a 100-win team, though? I don't think so. I think it's a 500-plus team. I could see this team winning 84, 85 games. But you know what? Who knows? You don't know. If you get all the breaks, they could win 90. Who knows? But I think being realistic, I see this anywhere from 82 to 85, I think, is a fair a fair number for this team, which is an improvement from last year. And you may answer some questions and learn where to fill in for the coming season. So don't despair. I guess that's my message. Don't despair and don't take everything so seriously. It's just not worth it. It's just a game, and we love it and we want to win. But just chill and let these professionals do their job. You may not agree with it and you can criticize it, but I got to tell you, again, some of the stuff you read is just way out there, and I think that's what gets people. All right, we probably will. I will try to go on a more regular schedule. It's been a little erratic because there's been nothing coming out really of any significance. I mean, the Ottavino signing, I guess, was pretty significant, but not earth shattering and nothing overwhelming like that. So we will try to get together a little bit more with spring training starting and I'll try to be more responsible with that. One more thing, got a phone call from a good friend of mine, Jeff Cohen of Baseball and Barbecue, and he just wanted to say, two things. Actually, the number is no longer working. I don't know what the problem. I think Google took my number away. So if you want to leave a voicemail, you have to go to MetsMusings.com and use that and use that system there that's on the website. You can just click on it, and it will record you with your computer's microphone and send the email to me. So that's the way we're going to have to do it. But to be honest, we weren't getting a lot of voicemails, and that's why Google, if you don't use it, you lose it, and they took away the number. So that was one thing Jeff wanted to tell me, but he also wanted to say on the show to sign Pete Alonso. Now, we haven't really discussed that. Why are they waiting? I think there's a lot of reasons they're waiting. I think the 216, 218, whatever he hit last year, I think that concerned them quite a bit that he fell off in the offensive categories. Yes, the power numbers were still there and still excellent, but he fell off with the other rest of the average. I think they've always seen him as a 255, 260, 265 hitter, 40 homers in that range, and the 218 really is a concern as he ages and gets older. He'll be 29 or 30 this season, so I think that's one reason that they're holding back on an extension with him. Probably the time to have done it probably would have been 2 years ago. Would have been a good time and to extend him at that point in time, but they didn't. And I think there's always been the question about whether he would be a consistent enough over a period of time. And I think that's what they're looking at now. And so I'm really open to anything. I wouldn't be surprised if the team is struggling and he's having a decent year, they will move him at the midway break. I could see that happening. If that's not the case, they will, there's a shot that they'll let him walk and try to negotiate him with him at that point as a free agent and see where they can go. I have a suspicion that they are looking very strongly at a Ryan Clifford that's in their minor leagues who had a good year. They see him as sort of a left-handed Pete Alonso. He's an outfielder, first baseman. Not known for his fielding, but he's a lefty, so they like that. Think he's projected that they think he can hit 260, 265 and hit 30 plus home runs. So people say, well, if you get rid of Alonso, you let alone, how are you going to make up the home runs? Well, if this kid makes his can do it, they think he can hit 30 home runs. They think they can make up 30 home runs there. And then you're looking to make up 10 instead of 40. But that's all speculation on my part. But I think not that they're concerned. I think they feel that they have a fallback position. Even if Clifford's not ready this year or next year, I think they feel they can fall back to maybe a Vientos or, you know, a stopgap free agent for a year at first base. It will be interesting. They're still talking. They're still looking, may add to a DH position, and that could be an interesting thing if they signed a guy like a Brandon Belt. Who's a first baseman, would he could give Pete some rest this year, but what if they sign him in 2 years? And they would have that insurance going into the 2025 season, and he could also tutor Clifford. It's all speculation at this point. We'll have to see how the rest, we still have this week. And, you know, they can still sign people and trade people even, you know, into the early part of the season. So, you know, little minor deals, but that could be important. So that's what we'll have to watch. There's still some decent players, believe it or not, out there, free agents, that have not signed yet, surprisingly. But it's been a weird year, so we will see. All right, I'm going to wrap it up now because I've been blowing smoke for quite a time now. So let's end it here. And let me just say that I hope that you like the show. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button. People at YouTube like it, and so do I, and it'll always let you know when another edition of Mets Musings is coming out. And we are available also on all your audio podcast apps. Wherever you get your podcast from, you should be able to get Mets Musings. So if you just want to hear the audio, if you're on your way to work, you're in your car, whatever, any of your audio podcast apps, we are on there. So until the next time, remember to keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. And I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.